The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf from Masechet Sukkah is daf Chet, brought to you by Bein Chomot Yerushalayim. And here we are on daf Zayin Amud Beit. So, we were right up to the spot where we were trying to indicate the commonality of Shitot, the tend in the direction of Sukkah Dirat Keva. The last thing that we learned was the Acherim being Rabbi Meir, who say that a round Sukkah is not acceptable because it doesn't have any corners. Now, that doesn't strike us as being particularly dramatic, not having any corners. But if we hold that Dirat Keva, the way in which people live all year round, is part of the definition of a sukkah, so then you can begin understanding, well, it doesn't matter how big it is, but there's not that sense of a room, right? So a room is not the same thing as room. Today, what we want to see is that there is a way to be makshir, if you don't hold of the acherim and the sukkah, and even though it's round, and that is that it should have sense of the room. Now, what would that mean? So, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, sukkah asuya kekifshan, if you make a sukkah round, like an oven in those days, and today also you have the ceramic ovens, it's still round, so a sukkah that is asuya kekifshan, if you have a circumference around that sukkah, which is the equivalent space that 24 people could sit in, then that sukkah would be kosher, and if not, it's possible. So it's obvious, I mean, that's a very big round room, right? If it's 20, circumference of 24 amod, I mean, for a sukkah, that's a nice size, which would mean that it's clearly going like Rebbe. In other words, because it's only Rebbe who said you need a sukkah of any significant size. Otherwise, you know, the Beit Hillel sukkah or Beit Shammai sukkah even is only 7 by 7 tefachim. That's tiny. And this 24 people, and you're saying, my God, that's big, right? So it's clearly going according to Rebbe. Now, what we're assuming right now is that all that Rabbi Yochanan wants you to have in this sukkah is a certain sense of the perspective that you have in a room the size of Rebbe. There is no shita in the Gemara that what Rebbe was referring to in terms of the heksher of the size of the sukkah in terms of its shape would have anything to do with the area of the room. It would have to do with the perspective of the room. And therefore, in the same way that you can't have a sukkah that would be 3 tvachim by 10 tvachim, you would need 7 by 7. It's a minimal on all sides. The concept of 4 by 4 is perspective, not area. So nobody would be makshir a 1-inch wide sukkah that is a mile long just because it has lots of shetach. Okay, once we've established that, let's ignore, therefore, the shetach of this sukkah and make the initial assumption that if I can stand up against one wall of my sukkah and look across at my other wall, and that would give me the sense of space that I would have in Rebbe's sukkah, then I'm okay. Which would mean that our first take on this is that if the diameter of the circle, not the circumference, if the diameter of the circle that Rebbe is being makshir, according to Rebbe Yochanan, if it's round, would be the same as the diameter of my square, so that I'm sitting in my 4 by 4 room, I don't look at the sides. Looking straight across, I got 4 amas, right? That's good enough. If I've got a circle and I'm looking straight across 4 amas, should also be good enough. That's our first assumption. The thing is, though, that if that were the case, then that would mean that the diameter of our circle is 4. It's looking straight across the room. It's the same as looking straight across Rebbe's room. Okay? So then, if I had a diameter of 4, what would the actual need for the circumference be? Well, remember that the Torah gives us a value for pi that we have a right to round off to, lahalacha, to call pi 3. And even though in that same pasuk it gives us a beautiful remez to the value of pi to 4 decimal places, as I've showed you before, but it tells us that pi could be 3 lahalacha. I've showed you that remez, right? Yeah. I think I remember you went crazy. So, therefore, what would the circumference need to be if the diameter were 4? 4 times pi, and pi is 3, and therefore it should only need to be 12. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it requires 24. That's way off. So ask the Gemara. Now hold on a minute. Michti. Gavra ba'amta yativ. I mean, the space that a person takes up. Now, it's unfortunate that the airlines have discovered this Gemara, you know. But a person can sit in a chair of only one amma. It doesn't even have to be a chazanish amma, let me tell you something. You know. So basically, you can crush them in there like sardines. So when Rabbi Yochanan is giving us a 24-person circumference, he's giving us a 24 amma circumference. But that's double what we need, because we only need a circumference of 12, right? This is the Gemara's kasha. If a gavra ba'amta yativ, then the deal is that kol sheyesh be'hekefot shlosha tefachim, the ruling lahalacha is that if you've got a circumference of 3, for each 3 tefachim in circumference, you have a diameter of 1 tefach. Yesh bo rochav tefach. Therefore, in this sukkah, if you need to look from one side of the wall to the other side of the wall to satisfy Rebbe's perspective requirements, remember, those of you who came in late, we're taking for granted that Rebbe did not give us an area requirement, because obviously the area is irrelevant to the halacha 4x4, since you can't have a 1-inch wide sukkah being kosher even if it's a mile long. The area is not the point. And therefore, what we're looking at is perspective. So if your perspective is to sit on one side of your sukkah and feel so nice about looking at your other side of your sukkah full 4 amot away, which is your personal space, and you're okay with that, then the circle in which you should be standing only needs to have a circumference betresar sagi. And therefore your circumference should be 12, considering that this is your value for pi, and we should actually celebrate this as Moshe has provided us with our first take on the sugya.
You said first cake or first cake?
Ah, exactly. Moshe always gets a little confused, and our first cake of the sugya becomes pi of the value of 3.
It's a cake.
There we go. So there's our first pi for the day. Do we eat it before we continue, or we can keep it for later? I'll keep it for later. All right. So says the Gemara now, but wait a minute. That's not enough, because Rebbe does not only have a requirement for perspective from one place in the room to the other place in the room, right? Because he is also asking for a, so to speak, circumference, because what he's talking about is not, agreed, it's not area, but it's still, I mean, you've got, according to him, also a full place to walk around your sukkah. So you walk around the square of your sukkah. You've got 16 amot to walk, right? So you should be able to walk around, tam-ta-dam, round and round my sukkah I go, round and round. Okay, so if that's the case, since it's a ribua, your ribua has got to be bigger than that, and therefore he is asking for 16, right? So it shouldn't be 12. I mean, for the square, you need more. Okay, fine. You need more. How much more do you need? You need one side more. If 3 is pi, and a square is, I mean, if pi is 3 and a square is 4, so then it's a relationship of 4 to 3. Okay, so fine. We said you need 12, so now you need 16. That's fine. But not 24. So then b'sheitzar sagi, it should be sufficient to have just 16. Ah, yes, that's all very sweet. But in actuality, Rebbe is also insisting that you have a perspective that includes your side vision, right? Your peripheral vision. Your peripheral vision insists on a room. If you're sitting in a circle, even if it's a circle with a circumference of 16, it is still cutting off the edges of your peripheral vision. So it's all very nice to be able to walk around your sukkah, and it's all very nice to be able to look across your sukkah, but it's not enough. Because when you're looking across your sukkah, your eye has to be able to have the expansion of space, flat space on its side that is not starting to be cut off with the horizon of the walls. Basically, in order to have a kosher sukkah in a circle, it's got to be big enough to have Rebbe Square inside that circle.
Because of Kiva, this was our problem?
No, because of shear. That's the shear of a sukkah. The shear of a sukkah is big enough to provide that sense of space. And therefore, you're going to have to... Fine, we're not going to go like the Acherim who say that the shape of the space per se is not keva if it's a circle. But we certainly need the perspective that Rebbe is demanding of your sukkah. Therefore, you have to be able to have the shear of Rebbe's square inside of your sukkah. That's your mistake. And that's how Rebbe Yochanan got to 24. So hani mile be'igo denafik migori bua. Would all be very nice if all I needed to do was take the 16 that you're claiming, which if I have it inside of a square, then you're right. If I walk around a circle inscribed in the square, I'm going to be walking around 16. But why is that enough? I need to have the sides. So if I need to have the sides, I need to inscribe the square in the circle, not the circle in the square. And therefore, if you're talking about an eagle that is this inscribed, that is nafik migori bua, it's inscribed inside of Rebbe's square, that's all very fine. But in this case, what we really need is Rebbe's square, the ribua of 4x4, that is going to be nafik migori bua. It's got to be inscribed inside of that circle. Then you need more. Why do you need more? Because then the diameter needs to be the diagonal of the square, right? So in picture two, you can't take the side of a square as your diagonal of the circle, as the diameter of the circle. You need to take the diagonal of the square, which is the hypotenuse of either of those triangles, those right triangles that you've got that make the square. So you've got to have that additional rumsha the mursha de karnosa. The mursha de karnosa is this, the part that sticks out at the corner, which is the additional value, which Pythagoras figured to basically be the square root of 2 multiplied by whatever the value is.
Which is that? Is that the stuff around the sides here or the stuff around the sides?
Neither.
Okay, so what
else? It's a line that is drawn through...
No, the mursha de...
This is the mursha de karnosa that sticks out. This is the mursha that sticks out beyond the side. This piece that's sticking out is more than the 4. If I just draw a 4 here...
The piece of the circle? Everybody?
No. The piece of the square. The diagonal of the square means that in reality, there is more than 4 in the circle.
Because the hypotenuse is more longer than 4?
Correct. Right.
So that added bit over the 4 is the mursha?
The mursha de karnosa. Right. Okay, so how much is that? Well, that is the a squared plus b squared equals c squared.
That's fun, but this is where I stopped learning math.
No, okay.
So the rule, as soon as they put in letters, I thought, no, I can't do this anymore.
Okay, so the rule is that for every value of 1, right? So what we need to do is we need to multiply it by the square root of 2, essentially.
Which is 1.4.
Why?
Because that's the Pythagorean theorem, that the relationship of hypotenuse to the two sides of the triangle is as the square root of 2. Right? So if we round off the square root of 2, so we round off pi to 3, the halacha allows us to round off the square root of 2 equivalently and to make it 1.4 instead of 1.41 and so on and so forth. Which is 1.4 happens to be 1 2/5, if you like doing fractions, which the Gemara likes. Yes. Obviously, it's a lot easier, if you're not using straight-out math, to use fractions. Okay. So what does that mean? You need more. Okay. How much more? More, the square root of 2 more. Mechte. Kol amta beribua is amta v'trei chum sheba alach suna. So that's our rule. For every amah of the side of the triangle, you would need for the hypotenuse 1 2/5 of an amma, correct? Okay, fine. So now we have 4. Let's multiply 4 by 1.4. Well, what do we get? 5.6. So you're right. Instead, we were wrong. Very good. But Rabbi Yochanan is still completely wrong. How much were we wrong? We took 4 to be the diameter of the circle, and that's why we were talking about 12. Fine. Let's take the right value, 5.6, and let us multiply that by pi. But remember, pi is only 3. So if we multiply it by pi times 5.6, what do we get? 16.8, which is 16 4/5, which is 17 minus 1/5 in the language of the Gemara, right? So 17 minus 1/5 don't sound anything like 24 to me. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. So he wasn't being that careful, you know. Try doing that in your math test in school.
I think I did.
So, Michte, kol amta beribu amta v'trei chum shabalach sona. What do we need in total? Shiv sarnechi chum shasagya. Obviously, all you need is 17 minus a fifth, 16.8. Okay, lo dak. So he wasn't being so careful, you know. Oh, come on, man. Emar damrina lo dak porta. I mean, you could say lodak for a little bit, but tuva mi'amrina. I mean, the difference between less than 17 and 24 is ridiculous. Mi'amrina lodak. Omerle markashisha, brother of chistel ravashi. Well, okay, we could adjust this, because you're assuming that a gavra ba'amta yati, right? And that was in the early days. Sure, on a Pan Am Clipper, that's fine. Nowadays, where you have seats of 3, how wide do you think those airline seats are? They put Talata Gavre Betray Amta. So if you fit 3 people into 2 Amot, then Rabbi Yochanan is giving us actually a diameter only of 16, right? And therefore, it works out perfectly well. What do you mean it works out perfectly well? We just calculated that you need 16.8. And he's giving us 16. How can he get away with that? Well, that's low dark. I mean, you round it off. And why say 16.8? Make it 16. But what? You can only say that you're rounding off the chumrah. I mean, you can't be machshir a sukkah that's too small. You're saying I'm going to be machshir a sukkah of 16 when the sukkah really needs to be 16.8. You can't do that. Emer damrina lo dak lechumra. You can only make that lechumra. You can't make it lekula. Lekula miamrina lo dak. That doesn't work. Omar le ravasi. So this pi also doesn't help us very much, does it? So the first pi, that one was out. Now, even if we calculate this new diameter with our new pi, there we go, there we go.
The life of pi. I love it.
The life of pi. We need the life of pi here as well. And so, for the life of pi, we celebrate. It's crazy. The guy is nuts. There's no question about it.
You did 3. The fact that we rounded off to 3.
To 3, of course, yes. So do we eat the pies, all the pies now, or save some for Shabbos?
Okay. I don't think so.
Well, all right, so now we still don't have an answer. Comes along Rav Asi and says to Rav Asi, let's go back. I mean, the airlines exaggerate. A person needs an amma. Salolam gamra gavra ba'amta yativ, okay? Rabbi Yochanan was giving us 24 amot, but the circumference of the circle wasn't 24 amot. I mean, he's giving us some type of practical measurement. So the people can't be sitting on the circumference of the sukkah. That's the wall of the sukkah. Actually, the 24 people were sitting outside the round sukkah. They built the sukkah in front of them. And therefore, we have to take off the sitting area of the people on each end of the diameter. So what we really have is not the sukkah that you thought, which 24 would mean a diameter of 8, given that our third pi is 3. you would actually only have 8 minus one guy sitting on one side, which is 7, minus one guy sitting on the other side, which is 6. In which case, you really have a diameter of 6, which, if pi is 3, gives us a sukkah of 18. And you'll say, but we didn't need 18. We only needed less than 17. Okay, fine. Lo dak. All right, that's l'chumra. Shakama havilu t'manisrei. But you'll ask, but b'shivsar nechichum shesagya, it would have had been enough to have a little less than 17. Fine. Hainu de lo dak. V'l'chumra lo dak. In reality, he was being machmir, and he manages to cover the real value of pi by being machmir, so we're all happy all around.
Pass the pot.
Rabbanan de Caesarea, some say it was the Dayanim of Caesarea, said, you're right about the ego, the nafik migo ribua, really, that the difference between the circle and the square is the additional 4. That was the relationship of the 16 to 12 that we had originally spoken about. That's true. However, your second piece is wrong. The ribua, that is nothing to do with ubula, when you try to inscribe Rebbe's 4x4 into a circle, the difference is larger than that. It's palga. It becomes actually half of the remainder, which means that you're taking off 1/3 of the whole thing, which means that a 16 actually becomes 24, 1/3 of the total. And that's just like 1/2, the 3 to 4 was a quarter, we call. So here we call it a half, which means that the 16 of the ribua, of the so-called circumference of the ribua, is, in this case, 24 in a circle, which is ridiculous, says the Gemara Valogi. That's not true. Because look, I don't even have to do the math. Anybody can look at that and see that it's ridiculous. And therefore, we stick with our original value. Now, Tosis points out at great length that what the Dayane here were taking into consideration was the difference in the area between the two. We've been ignoring the area completely because what we saw was that Rebbe was himself not referring to area. And what they were doing was applying a rule of the difference of the area of an inscribed square to the area of the square around an inscribed circle. And that is irrelevant to our discussion.
Are they correct, though?
Tosafot shows that they're correct in the way that he stretches their meaning. So that they had a Kabbalah of that, but that they were applying it here was wrong, because we shouldn't have applied area. Om Rabbi Levi Mishum Rabbi Meir. A new halacha. What we used to have is people who would set up shop to sell wares, like chutzot hayotzer. So they would put up a little tzrif, a shack, covered over with some tzchach, and they would have an inside area which was enclosed for their living quarters, small room by their sleeping bag, and then they had an area that was outside that was not totally enclosed, but it was a little place where they would work during the day, and they had their oven there, whatever they were working on, and they would put down a counter to display their wares. And then at night they would fold it up and put it away.
This is during Chol HaMoed.
Well, obviously, it's always during Chol HaMoed, you know. Chutzot HaYotzer. There you go. It's based on this Gemara. Now, he's joking. He's joking. Okay, so you have the two sukkah.
No, if we're talking about a sukkah, it's a kosher sukkah. It's got to be Chol HaMoed. They're working on Chol HaMoed. Is that the issue? I mean, that's not the issue, but that's what's going on.
No.
It's not what's
going on. They do this all year. I thought you were kidding around.
No.
Now it's Yontif. Now comes Yontif.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Nice, okay.
So obviously we don't care about during the year whether they're living in a kosher sukkah.
Yeah, that's yeah. Well.
Okay, so now the inside room is not called a sukkah. And the reason it's not called a sukkah is because that's where you live. And part of the din of the sukkah is leaving where you live and recognizing and being nikar that you're in a dirat arai as opposed to your normal dirat. So you can't live in your normal bedroom. And because of that, it's also chayev in a mezuzah because it's considered to be your home, beitech. However, the outdoor one, where you only go once in a while to sell, that is a kosher sukkah, and you do not build a mezuzah on it because it's temporary. So wait a minute. And I understand why it's not chayav in the mezuzah for itself. But is it not the entry into your home? So why isn't it the equivalent of a beit shar? A beit shar, which is itself a small place, let's say, for a shomer to stand, with his little magnetic checker thing as you walk into the house. Those days they had one in every home. So if you have a beit shar, then the beit shar itself is chayev because the inner house is chayev, and this is viewed as an extended entrance. By the way, where this becomes, in modern terms, very much a question, la halacha, is the elevator. Is an elevator chayev as a beit shar to the homes? Because you go through the elevator to get to your house, and therefore it should be chayev as a beit shar. There are many poskim who were mechayev the entry. It's a question whether it was the entry to the elevator per se or on every floor.
Wait, we're talking where the elevator opens into the house?
No, wherever it opens. It opens into the hall.
High rise, it opens into the...
No, I understand. I mean, you have the hallway or a hotel. You have a hallway until you get to your room. Why would that be a beit shar?
It's still an entry into the large entry hall into the room. It's still a beit shar. Halacha l'maaser in Moshe Paskins, it's not considered to be a room because it's not there most of the time.
If you press it fast enough.
And if it were, if it were a room, then every time it arrived, it would be b'chayiv in a new mezuzah because it's dasa v'lo
m'hosri,
right?
Can't you put the mezuzah in the elevator itself?
Yeah, but what, then it's not kavua at all. It's even worse than the tzukas ayotzri. It's got no kviut in space.
There's something out of being there.
What's that?
There's a scene in being there when he's in the elevator. The first time he's in an elevator, he's never been in an elevator before. Mm-hmm. And the guy he's talking to thinks he's talking about being in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Like they're both talking about two totally mm-hmm. different things. And he's like, I've never been in one of these before. Right? it's like this room that it's up and down. Anyway.
Okay, moving on. Exactly. So that's Rishum Delo Kaviya. You cannot be Machayev a Beit Shar, where the house itself is basically a portable house. That's not, it's not Choshev to have a Beit Shar. Tana Rabbana. Ganbach. Now, Ganbach stands for, it's an easy way to remember, four different types of lower level sukkahs. You know, what we're referring to here is the Gimel stands for Goyim, and the Nun stands for Nashim. And the Beit stands for Behema. And the Chof stands for Kutim. Now, where sukkah is made by Goyim, or made for women, or made as a barn, or made by Kutim. And obviously the Tanis Tosis points out, holds that Kutim are like Goyim, they're Gerei Arayot. They don't have a din of a Jew. So obviously, these were not made L'shem Mitzvat Sukkah, because none of these people are Chayiv in a sukkah. However, that and even less than that, a sukkah mikomakah, I don't give a hang what it is, even lesser sukkahs are all kosher, because as we'll see later on, we paskin, you do not need a sukkah that was made l'shem the chiyuv of the sukkah and the chag. However, you have to make sure that the schach is proper. Now, obviously, it can't mean that the schach is kosher in terms of the normal dinim of schach. Obviously, it's not going to be a kosher sukkah with non-kosher schach just because it's a less chomer sukkah. That's absurd. So what are you adding by saying that as long as it's mesuchecha kehochata? I mean, I'm not stupid, am I? Omer of Chistin, no. The problem over here is that these types of sukkot may have schach not really for protection, but for privacy. And that's not considered to be schach. Schach is not a mechitza. Schach is to protect you. And therefore, we say ki ilchata, what we mean is that it is made letzel sukkah and not for tzniut. So it's made to be a provider of some level of protection for the sun and the elements. Okay, and then you say, and even less, any other sukkah, sukkah mikomako. What do you mean? What other sukkah do you mean? Well, I'm referring to the rock bashes, these where they make these sukkahs just for the concert. So that is adding to you the four sukkot of rock bash. And what are rock bash sukkahs? The Tana Rabbana. A sukkah's rock bash, which stands for a sukkah that is made for shepherds, or a sukkah that is made for kayatzim, people that are sitting there watching the figs dry up, Or Sukkot of Burgenin, which we had before. Those are either hunter hides or people that are the Shomrei Ha'ir, or the Sukkot of Shomrei Peirot. And that is the common name, the denominator here, is that these Sukkot are temporary Sukkot. And the minute that the figs are finished, or that the Peirot are taken into the storage, the Sukkot is going to come down. Nonetheless, it's being used now, and for that matter, even lesser Sukkot than that. Sukkah mikomakom is kshera. Ubav achitei nesuchechet kiyochata. Now, it is bright that we have the same discussion. As long as the schach is kosher, and of course we know what that means now, kiyochata obviously not referring to the dinim of schach that apply to all Sukkot, but special problem in rakbash sukkahs, which are all temporary, Amrif Kista, what it means is that that schach was made particularly as protection from the elements and not because you're looking for a hunter hide to be private. And as long as it's letzel sukkah, that's okay. And the Tana that said Rakbash, when he said, and even less than that, what did he mean when he said even less than that? He meant Ganbach Sukkot. So apparently there's two ways of looking at this, because Rakbash holds that Ganbach is lesser quality, and Ganbach holds that Rakbashes are lesser quality, which goes to show ala tam vala reach ein leitvakea. But in reality, the Tana that says Ganbach and uses Rakbash as just sort of an even Rakbashes, he holds that Ganbach sukkahs are better. Alimele Ganbach. Why does he think Ganbach sukkahs are more likely to be kayev, to be kosher? Mishum de kaviyei, because Ganbach sukkahs are meant to stay that way. They're just that they're made for people who aren't kayev in a sukkah. And therefore it adds, and even a sukkah that's not even meant to stay permanently is also kosher. Whereas the Tana that looks to Rakbash as the important one and includes Ganbachs as ancillary, they're down the hill, he holds that Rakbashes are more likely to be chayim because the people that are using them, they're made for, are b'nei chiyuvininu. So over there, okay, there's a shita that needs to be made as a chiyuv. Okay, so coming along, tell me Rakbash is okay too, even though it's not permanent. And we can even include those low-class Ganbach sukkahs. So he's Tana Mikoma come to include Ganbach, even though they're lav b'nei chiyuvininu, they too are kosher sukkahs, as long as they're mesuchach kiyuvata, that is to say, not for tzniut.
So the Jew, when he comes into this world,
Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah asuyah kechivshan, im yesh beh kefa kedei leshev ba, 24 b'nei adam, kisherav imlach psula. Kiman kerebi, diyoma kol sukkah she'in ba 4 lamot ar 400 psula? Why would you need so big? Michte, gavra ba'am tayativ. The rule being, kol she'yesh beh kefa shlosha tfachim, yesh bo rochav tefach. So then, all I need is, betracer sagi, 4 is Rebbe Shir, times 3, which is the circumference. Ah, but you're not taking into consideration the need for a circumference, are you? So that's only in an igula, but a ribua, you've got all that extra space to go happily walking around your sukkah. You need more? Well, okay, fine, you need more. How much more? Kama maruba yoter ala igul, 1/4. Obviously, 12 becomes 16. So b'shitzar sagi. So why does he get 24 if 16 is enough? Yes, but there's also your peripheral vision. Sani may be eagle to nothing, may go ribua. But a ribua that's being stuck into the ego, there boy tve. Because what are you going to do about the Mursha de Karnata? Okay, fine. Let me add the Mursha de Karnata, which is essentially the hypotenuse of a triangle. So, mirvi, kol amta beribua. What's the hypotenuse? Square root of 2, rounded off, the amta betray chumshi balachsuna. But then all we really need is 16.8, which is Shivsa Nechichum Sheisagi. Okay, fine, you know, 24, 16, you know, Lodak. Come on, Emadamri Lodak Purta. Tuva, you don't say Lodak. Omrei Markashisha, Breit Rav Chista, Rav Ashi. Your measurement was wrong. Misavarta Gavra Ba'amta Yativ. Tlata Gavri Betray Amta Yativ. Okay, fine, so. Right. 24 really is 16. But 16 wasn't the correct shear. We said it was 16.8. Okay, fine. So we rounded 16.8 to 16. Lo dak. No. Imadar minelo dak lechumra. Here you're being makshir a non-kosher sukkah. Lekulam yamrinelo dak. Omali Ravasi Ravashi liolam gavra ba'am tayyativ. And Rabbi Yochanan was talking about people outside around the sukkah. And mokam gavri lo kachashiv. So you have to take off one amma of either side of your diameter, which was previously 8, because you came out with 8 times 3 was 24. So kama havile tmani sre. Okay, so now it's 6. Very good, because you took off one on either end. 6 times 3 is 18. But you don't need 18. You only needed 16.8, which is 17 minus a chumsha sagi. Okay, that's low dark. And it's so chumra low dark. Rabbanu de Kisari, Vamre Dayanu de Kisari, Amre. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan's right on target. 16, if you need to inscribe the square, become 24 on the circle. Because igula de nafik migo ribua is riba. But a ribua de nafik migo igula is pauga, which is not true as applied here. Below it, do kakazina de lo havikuleya. Omer Rabbi Levi Mishum Rabbi Meir. Shtei sukot shel yotzrim zo lifni mizo. Hapnimit, which is the bedroom where he lives and all of his tashmish is there, is not a sukkah, it's his dira. And it's chayevet b'mizuzah. The chitzona, which comes in midei pam, is indeed a dirat arai, and that's not where he lives all year round, it's a sukkah. And because of that, it's potum b'mizuzah. But isn't it at least heavy chitzona kebeit shar hapnimit v'tit chayev b'mizuzah? Well, it's lo kavia. Ton Rabbana, Gan Bach, which is Sukkat Goyim, Sukkat Nashim, Sukkat Beima, Sukkat Kutim, and Sukkah Mikom Makom, even less, is kosher. Ubevachtem Sukkahet Kiyokata, meaning what Kiyokata? I mean, obviously it can't be Kiyokata like Schach, that's a given. Amrav Chista, Vahusha Asal, it sells Sukkah. And when you say, and any lousy Sukkah, Mikom Makom, what's that including? That's coming la to ye sukkat rakpash, the Tana Rabbanan. Sukkat rakpash, sukkat roim, sukkat kayatsim, sukkat burgenim, sukkat shomer peirot, and even less than that, sukkam bikom bikom chera, ubevachitem zuchechet kiyochata, meaning what, my kiyochata amrav chista, vusha asa'al etzel sukkah, and what is mikom bikom coming in this brayta to tell me? Well, it's coming to include the other brayta of Ganbach, because the Tana of Ganbach assumes that Alimale Ganbach, because at least it's Kavua, and therefore Mikomakom comes to include rock patches, which are taken down as soon as the season ends, the Lokavia. Whereas the Tana of Rakbash thinks that Rakbash are more likely to be Chai because at least they're B'nai Chiyuvanina. And therefore, saying even lesser Sukkot means even Ganbach Sukkot, the Lav B'nai Chiyuvanina, are also Chai. Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is daf Ches. We were holding on daf Zayin Amud Beis, and we got up to the Maimer of Rabbi Yochanan, which is right above that little circle, if you have the illustration on your daf. So it's about a fifth of the way up. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah HaAsuyah KeKivshan. Now remember that we had a shita yesterday that a sukkah has to have sides. That was according to the shitas that said, which was the shita of the Acherim, you have a sukkah that's made basically like a round. He gave the example of a dovecot, but something that's a round, it's not considered to be a kosher sukkah because it simply doesn't have any kind of zaviyot, doesn't have any corners. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says today, Om Rabbi Yochanan, sukkah ha'asuya kikivshan. Kivshan is the same idea. It's basically a place where you've a kiln, so it's also round. And if you make a sukkah like that, you just have to analyze how large the sukkah is to see if it fits the general requirements of the sukkah. So in yesh behekefa, if in its inside measurement of its circumference, that's measured from inside of the walls, you have enough space kedei leishev ba'asrim v'arba'a b'nei adam kshira. As long as 24 people can sit around the edge, the inside edge of the sukkah, then you are going to have a kosher sukkah. So obviously the fact that it's round is not the problem. All we've got to do, make sure that this sukkah fits the requirements of a sukkah. Now, normally the requirement of a sukkah, we saw earlier, was a machlokas, either 4x4 according to Rebbe, 7x7 according to Beit Shammai, a little bit less according to Beit Hillel. But in Lav, it doesn't have 24 people, then it's possible. Now the question is, which one of those shitas is Rabbi Yochanan following? So Kiman, who's this going according to? Apparently, if he says you need 24, so it must be to Rebbe. Rebbe, after all, is the one who said, if you don't have 4x4 sukkah, it's possible. So in order to have the shear that Rebbe would require, what he seems to be saying is that you would need 24 people along the circumference. Now the problem is, as Thermichti, this is a little bit strange, because in order to get the shear of that sukkah, so that the round sukkah will have 4 amot by 4 amot, you certainly don't need a sukkah that's large enough for 24 people to sit around it. I mean, let's first make sure that we know what we're talking about in terms of measurements. Gavra ba'amta yasmin, a person that is sitting, generally will take up a area of 1 amah. So in a 1 amah space, plenty of space for him to sit down. The airlines have discovered you can actually get along in a lot less, you may have noticed, but that's the normal way in which a person will sit. So if that's the case, then we all sit down, just take the other given, and that is that kol sheyesh behekefo, we have a circle, and the circumference of that circle, you have shlosha tefachim, then you know that you have, in the radius of that circle, you have a tefach. Now, of course, this is a value of 3 for pi, whereas actually the value of pi, as we know, certainly not 3. However, we do learn out from the pasuk, as we'll discuss later, that pi is halachically, we are allowed to rely on pi as 3. The halacha always provides a certain shiurim, which are not accurate in terms of the close and detailed measurements, but which are acceptable in terms of halacha. Now, we cannot endlessly go ahead and be medaktik in halacha. So, okay, what defines a reasonable relationship? Remember, Dibrat Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam, the simple relationship that a primitive person without access to a lot of instruments and measurements and so on, what would be a reasonable approximation? We learned from a pasuk that it's 3. All right, so now given those two facts, that what we need over here is a value of a relationship of 3 in the radius to 4, so if you've got rather 1 to 3, so then if that's the case, if you need it for the sukkah to follow Rebbe's requirement of 4x4, wouldn't tresar be sufficient? Wouldn't 12 be enough? Because, I mean, if you've got 12 people sitting around the side, then that would mean that you've got a total of 12 amot around the side. If the relationship to pi is 3 to 1, so then you've got your sukkah of 4. So why did he say you would need 24 people? Answers the Gemara, wait a minute. All that we said before is that if you've got 3, then your radius is 1. That's hanimila bigula. Obviously, it's only if you're taking a look at the radius of the circle. The only place where you've got that radius is in the middle. But we need over here a square sukkah of 4x4. What good is it to have just one dimension, which is the middle of the circle, to be 4? So aval biribua, when Rebbe requires 4x4, he requires 4x4 as a square. If it's a square, so then you're going to have basically, let's discuss a sukkah that can contain a square of 4x4. And if that's the case, well, it's vain. Now you're going to need a lot more than 12 people. Still, says the Gemara, okay, you're right about that. I understand I made a mistake. But generally speaking, what is the relationship of a square to a circle? Kama meruba yoter l'igul. What's the additional area of a square over that of a circle? Well, look, if pi really would be equal 3, then obviously the relationship of the square to the circle would be that it includes one additional side. So it would be Revia. It would be one quarter larger. In other words, consider that if you've got a circle with the radius of that square, you know, so in other words, you start with a tefach. A circle with the radius of a tefach is now going to have, according to the Gemara, the pi of 3 is going to have a string of 3 basically going around it. It becomes only 3. Take, on the other hand, a square and build it around that circle. And then, of course, the Gemara will ask in a moment, why are we building it around? I mean, if they, we're talking about over here an inscribed circle, but what are we going to do about the edges that are missing? We'll get to that. But let's talk for a moment. Take that radius of 1, put it all around. So now we have a square that contains that circle. You take a string and you put it around that square, so now you've got a string of 4. Okay, so then that means that basically it's one quarter more. One quarter over here means one quarter of the final result, which is one third added to the 3 that you have, gives you one quarter of the total. So that would seem to imply that you've got just an additional side. If you multiply the sides by themselves, you've got an additional side to take into consideration. In which case, what we ought to have said, that we need 16 people around the edges of the sukkah, and that 16 people would include one fourth more of what was necessary for basically to make the circle equal the square. I mean, around the square, you'd have 16 people sitting, it would be 4 by 4. So why can't you have 16 sitting around the circle? Well, obviously, that's not going to help you much, because honestly, the only time that we said that, that you have to only add a quarter, is that's talking about Be'igul and Nafik Migo Haribua. That's where you've got an inscribed circle inside of the square. Now, obviously, if you do that, you're going to come out, yes, if pi is 3, you're going to come out basically with the same number of people that you could put around your circle. You've got to add now that number, so it would be the number of people that go around the square. But if you now basically have to inscribe a square inside the circle, because after all, you do need the full area of the sukkah. So of ribua de nafik migo igula. Now at this point, we're assuming is that we actually need your four corners. So you have to have an actual place for that square of the sukkah, 4 by 4. Clearly, you're going to need more than that in your circle. So by tfei, you're still going to need a lot more than your 16. Mishum Morsha de Karnata. Because look, if you've inscribed now that square here, the circle is going to need to include also the diagonal of the square itself to be inside of it. It's not going to be enough to have a radius which is the equivalent of the square. Your basically radius will be measured from one edge of the square to the diagonal opposite. So by the Pythagorean theorem, you're going to have to now add a squared plus b squared equals c squared, and c squared is now going to be defined as basically the square root of 2 here. Okay, so you have 1 by 1, and then you're going to need the square root of 2. Square root of 2, we can approximate to 1.4. So that means that if you take your square 1 by 1 by 1 by 1, and you measure the diagonal from one corner to the other corner, you're going to get the square root of 2, which is approximately 1.4, which is 1 2/5. So now, if that's the case, we should be able to analyze that relationship and see if we take the 16, multiply it by 1.4, which is the square root of 2, let's see whether, and again, the Gemara allows us to approximate, the same reason that the halacha is always using approximations when it comes to the measurement of things that have certain requirements. So let's take a look what we really do need. Mirti. Am kolanta beribua. You take an ama in a square, that equals amta betrechum shabalach sona. By the Pythagorean theorem, you now have a 1.4 as an approximation of the square root of 2 as the additional size of the alaxon, the diagonal, okay? So we're now going to have an ama and 2/5 of an ama. Now, that's all very nice, and we should be able to use that to see how many people are going to have to sit around our circle. By the way, when we finish this sugya, I want to show you a beautiful remez, the way the Torah gives us the actual definition of pi, but not for use in halacha, but as a remez in the difference between a kri and a ktiv. But in any event, let's continue this. So if that's the case, we now have to multiply our 16 that we thought we would need by the 1.4. Okay, so let's take the units that we need to look at. Our unit over here of the that we're going to be multiplying by the 3 is now what we need to look at is we're going to take our original square, which now according to Rebbe is 4, and multiply that 4 by 3. That's what we were going to do originally. But now we know that we can't just multiply the 4. We have to multiply the diagonal of the 4 by 3 to get the circumference of the circle, correct? Because the radius of this circle is going to be touching, as the widest point of the circle is going to be, of the square, is going to be touching the edges of the circle. The widest point of the square is the diagonal. The diagonal we're giving is 1.4 times whatever the unit is of the side. Okay, so if the side is 4, multiplying that 4 by 1.4 gives us 5.6, which in terms of the Gemara's measurements would be 5 now and 3/5. Okay, 5 and 6/10 is 5 and 3/5. Multiply that 5 and 3/5 now by 3, which is our value for pi. But that still doesn't equal 24. Because what that comes out to is now b'shivsa l'chichum shasagya. It would be enough to have 17 minus 1/5. Because all we have to do is multiply that 5.6 times 3. And what do we get? We get 16.8. We get 16.8. We're talking about 16 and 4/5, which is basically 17 minus 1/5. And therefore, what we would really need is 17 minus 1/5. Now, how the heck did Rebbe get 24 instead of 17 minus a fifth? 16.8. So, says the Gemara, well, Rebbe Yochanan, in applying Rebbe's analysis to the size of the sukkah, was not being all that careful. Lodak. He was just giving you be'erach. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? You can't approximate 16.8 to 24. I mean, you want to approximate 16.8 to 17, I understand, but how the heck do you get 24? Emer d'amrinu lo dak. I mean, say you're being approximate. That's a little bit. Purta. But tuva is such an amount to say you need 24 instead of less than 17? Mi amrinu lo dak? Whoever is such a thing? That's not called not being accurate. That's called being wildly inaccurate. Omer leimar kashisha b'reidu v'kistu v'ashi. You know what? One of your original assumptions is wrong. Mi savet gavra ba'amtayati. What do you think? That a man sits in one ama? Not true. Actually, as the airlines have discovered, three people can fit into two amas. Tzlata gavri b'tamte amtayati. So that would mean that three people would be able to fit into a shear of two amot, in which case, according to this, if 24 people are going to sit there, you're now going to have just enough space to cover what was our 16.8. It's not going to work out. Because what you've done, basically, if you now are talking about 24 people, according to your new measurements, 24 people are going to fit within 16 amot, because you've got 16 plus you've got, remember, an additional third, because three people can fit into two. That gives you 16 plus the additional 8, okay, which is the 24.
that 16 isn't enough. We just proved that you need 17 minus a fifth. You know, 16.8. You can't just say 16. Oh, well, that's the point. Low dot. We said it's approximately. So 16.8, you know, basically the same. Oh, no, wait a minute. You could say you're being approximate if you want to be machmer. You can't say approximately 16 amot when you really need 16.8, and then people will be building their sukkahs of 16 amot to sit 24 people and have a possible sukkah for yontif. So you could say lo dak, yes, if you want to be machmer on people. But lakula mi amrina lo dak, what are you going to say? That actually you can get along with less when you can't? No, that's unacceptable. Ravashi, you're right. We've got to go back on what we just said. Lo'olam gavra ba'amta yativ. Actually, a human being requires a full amah, not two amahs within three. So you said, but then we're way off because we all needed 16.8 and he's giving you 24 amahs if a person needs 24. But Reb Yochanan mokum gavri lo kachashiv. Reb Yochanan was talking about 24 people sitting around the sukkah from the outside, not 24 people sitting inside of the sukkah. So we're not including the space in which the people themselves are sitting. Okay, so they are fine. Let's see whether that works. So kama habilu, according to this, how precisely, how large is the actual circumference then that you are describing? Well, remember that we said that a person takes up an amma. He takes up an amma, he takes up a square amma. So what we've done is now we've brought that circle in by one amma on either side. Because before we needed 24 people to be sitting in, the place that they take up in the circle is going to be one amma. So now let's move the circumference in so that they're all excluded. Either direction, if you look at the circumference from either side of the circle, you've moved it in now by one amma. So your radius has basically gone down by two amot. Okay, if your radius has gone down by two amot, then basically what we're really talking about over here is a circle that is now 20, right? It now requires 18 people to be sitting around it. Because what we had before was a circle of 24, assuming that pi is 3, then the radius must have been 8. 3 times 8 equals 24. In order to have a radius of 6, 3 times 6 would be 18, we would only need 18 people that would be in along the, in other words, 18 amot, that would be the size of the actual circumference. So, that's the case. How do you get 24? The real amount, 24 I understand, 24 equals 18, but the real amount is not 18. The real amount is Shiv Senechei Chum Shasagya. We said you need 16.8, and you're telling me I need 18. Big difference between 16.8 and 18, isn't there? But that's Hainu Lodak, Rav Yochanan was not being all that careful. I mean, basically, he wanted to give you gross measurements. Gross measurements are going to be people, not accurate rulers. So he said, okay, look, if you take 24 people, put these 24 people around a circle and then draw a circle inside of them along their feet. And now you're going to have a circle that is going to be 18 amot in circumference. Now, it's true that you really only need something close to 17. But, look, I want you to make sure you got yourself a kosher sukkah. So I'm going to be a little bit approximate over here, tell you that you need basically what boils down to a sukkah of 18 amot in circumference. And therefore, I wasn't being medayik, but I wasn't being medayik in order to be machmir, to make sure that you got a kosher sukkah. So lechumra lo dak, exactly as we say, we wanted to add in a little bit in order to allow what's really needed. Now, there's another very strange possibility of explaining Rabbi Yochanan, which is what the Rabbanan de Kesari Those were the Chachomim in Caesarea. Some say it wasn't the Rabbanan de Caesarea, it was the Dayanim in Caesarea. That said, that Rabbi Yochanan indeed knew exactly what he was talking about, and he did mean people that were in the inside of the sukkah, which would mean that we would need 24 amot in order to have a circle that would be 4 amot squared inside of it. Why is that? Because an igula denafik migo ribua riva. If you take a circle and you put it inside of a square, so then indeed the area that is lost is just 1/4, as we said earlier. Again, this is assuming the relationship of 5 being 3. So the area that's lost is 1/4, because before we had pi equals 3, and over here we have the sides that we're going to, instead of pi, we're going to be putting in the fourth side as well, and that'll be 4. So you've got 1/4 less. But Riba de Nafik Migula, however, if you have now a square that you're going to take now and put that square inside of the circle, the circle now, which is going to be around it, that's going to be additional beyond the area of the inscribed square, is indeed palga. That's going to be half the size, another half of the size to be added to the area of the inscribed square. And therefore, if you're going to take now a 4x4 square and you're going to put it inside of a circle, the area of the 4x4 square was 16 square amot. If you're going to make a circle around it, you're going to have to use half of that 16, which is now basically another 8 amot, those 8 amot being the additional 50%, which now together equals 24 amot. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. This is a Gemara, but that's ridiculous. Velohi. I mean, obviously any idiot who measures a circle that has now been put around a square sees that that's absolutely absurd. We can see with our own eyes that a circle that you put around a square that's included in it is certainly not going to have an additional 50%. It has basically only the additional impact of the 1.4 that I had to multiply by making now the diagonal of the square into its radius. And if that's the case, it would be perfectly okay to have the 16.8 that we said earlier. In fact, it's absolutely wild to think that the Dayanim of Caesarea could possibly have made a statement like that when any child can see that it's not true. And indeed, Tosis explains that what we have over here is a misunderstanding of a perfectly correct halacha. What they were really saying, these Rabbanan de Caesarea, is obviously something different, and that is that if you take first, in other words, what we thought is that these were two separate statements. They're actually one statement. You take igula denafik migo ribua riva. In other words, if you take now first an eagle and you put it inside of a circle, then the area of that circle will indeed be 1/4 less than the area of the square in which it's inscribed. Now again, following the Gemara that allows us to use 3 for the value of pi, that is certainly correct. The square of the circle, area of the circle will be multiplied by the factor of 3, and the area of the square will be multiplied here by the factor of 4. But now, continues the Klal, if you now go ahead and you put a square into the inscribed circle, then the area of the square that is inscribed of the circle will be half of the area of the original square in which that circle was inscribed. So in other words, the outside square will have double the area of the inside square, which is correct if you're viewing pi as being equal to 3. So what they were saying was one klal, which was wrongly interpreted here as being two separate klalim, and then applied to Rabbi Yochanan as if it addressed why we would need 24, and the Gemara is pointing out it was an absurd application. That is not what the klal meant. First of all, it wasn't even two klalim, and it was never meant to be applied to Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore scratch that, but don't scratch the rule that the Rabbanan de Kisari were quoting. It's certainly an accurate rule. Continues the Gemara. Om Rabbi Levi Mishum Rabbi Meir, Shtei Sukkot Shel Yotzrim. You have now manufacturers, they work on Yotzer, somebody who works on making pottery. And what you normally would have is a little house, take a look in your pictures, a little house in which he has his store, his workshop, in the outside, and that's where people walk in, and he's doing his work, and he could show them his wares. On the inside, he's got his living quarters, and he's got an area where he stores his stocks, so he'll be safer. So you've got an inner room and an outer room. Now, hapnimit, the place where he lives all year round, and that's where his bed is, inasuka is not a kosher sukkah, because if he's living in there, he's living the way he lives all year round. And therefore, it's not an area that can be viewed as a sukkah. There's nothing to distinguish it from the house. And even though, as we will see later on, Beis Hillel's opinion is that you do not need to make a sukkah that is a sukkah l'shem chag, and that's how we paskin. There's certainly moda that this is not considered to be a sukkah, because there's absolutely nothing in it that distinguishes it from the house that he uses all year round. So in that case, where you've got a schach, in the way here being so chech, for specifically the use just to get yourself some shade, even if you make it as a diret kva, because that would be perfectly all right, it would be kosher. But not in a case where it's a continuation of living in your home. You remember we talked about this question earlier, like what would be wrong with just having a shingle roof, which you use all year round for your house, and sitting in it the way you sit all year round, and now you're sitting in a sukkah. That's what Rashi explains. Now the Ron explains, the reason that it's possible over here is because something that is made for a house is by definition possible for a sukkah. It is not a sukkah, it is a house. It's not a question of being nicker, the way Rashi learns that your yeshiva in it should be for a sukkah. And indeed, the truth is that there's a say that Rashi certainly made it, that it's possible midiraisa for a sukkah. It's not just a question whether people will misunderstand it. So now the inside is not considered to be a kosher sukkah, and it is his permanent house, and therefore it's chayevet b'mezuzah, because he lives there all year round. The outside, where he only sits, never lives in, over there it's kosher for a sukkah, because it's not meant for his home and for living purposes, just like an entryway into his house, but therefore it's teremin mezuzah. Because of that, it's not considered to be a house, to be chayev in a mezuzah either, at least all year round. Ve'amai, Eskimer, why would the outside sukkah be putter from the mezuzah? I mean, isn't it basically an entryway? But the din is, to have a yichitzonah kebeit shar hapnimi, if you've got like a little entryway in which you've got a small house that you pass through a hallway in order to get into a large chotzer, in this case into a house, then it's a hallway, and a hallway is chayav in a mezuzah, as we all know. We all put mezuzahs in our hallways. So why exactly is this any different? Answers the Gemara Mishum de Lo Kaviyah. Since over here the Sukkat Hayotzrim is b'chlal not considered to be something that is a kavua, so he sets this up basically to do his work. So therefore, there's no chiyav in the Beit Shara, because a Beit Shara has to be choshev, has to be going into an area that is choshev. An area which itself is not kavua is simply not considered to be significant sufficiently to look at an entryway to it as being chayev as an extension of the inner place that it's going to, because the inner place itself is really not all that significant. Tana Rabbana. Gan Bach. A sukkah is Gan Bach. Now, Gan Bach is an acronym, and it stands for Gimel, stands for Goyim. So, Sukkat Goyim, something that was made for a non-Jew to live in all year round. Or you can have the Nun, Sukkat Nashim. This is a building that's made particularly for women to be sitting in. You can have a Beit, which stands for Behima. Sukkat Behima, something that's just made as basically a place where his animal can hang out in the sun. Or the Chav, which stands for Sukkat Kutim. Sukkah that was made by Kutim. Now these Kutim are, according to some, Geirei Arayot, and therefore do not have a chiyuv of a sukkah because they're not really Jewish. And sukkah mikol makom, any type of lousy sukkah, doesn't even matter, is kashera. Doesn't matter what its purpose is, as long as it's bevachitei mesukachet kilchata, as long as it has the correct and proper schach. What does that mean? My kilchata? Well, I mean, obviously it doesn't have schach, it's not a sukkah. I mean, what do you mean to say? The Omer of Kisan, what Krista said about this, when we say Kilchata, what we mean is Husha Asalatel Sukkah. It means that it was made actually for real shade and not for purposes of just protecting you from prying eyes. It doesn't have to be made for the Chag, as Beit Hillel explains later, but it does have to be made for purposes of shade. So that means that the ceiling has to be a ceiling that is there in order to protect you from the sun, a real roof. But a roof that is a sukkah roof rather than a house roof. But if you put up something which is basically there to only prevent somebody from looking in at you, then it lacks in the din of a sukkah, not because it's not sukkah tachag, but because it's not tzel. It wasn't built for the purposes of tzel. So then when you say mikol makom, sukkah mikol makom, what exactly does that mean? Any type of sukkah, no matter how poorly its purpose is, my. What type of sukkah would be worse than the ones that we already listed? A sukkah that's made for an animal to hang out of it. Answers the Gemara, latuye sukkat rakbash. Now, if you're making a real rakbash, okay, and this is like an amazing concert, the rakbash also stands for an acronym, the Tana Rabbanan. Sukkat rakbash. Now, this rakbash are Jewish sukkot, or chayavin sukkot. The problem is that they were made for purposes that have nothing to do with the yontif. So the resh over here stands for ro'im. Sukkat ro'im. Something that is made, a sukkah that's made for a shepherd. He's got all of his sheep out there, and he's going to sit in that sukkah because it's very hot, and then he wants to get a little bit of shade. Kuf stands for kayatzim, sukkat kayatzim. Kayatzim are people that are outdoors watching over the kayats. The kayats are the te'anim, they are the figs that are basically spread out in the field, and we leave them out to dry. The name of that is kitziot. The kayats, the name for summer, is named after figs. Or the bays stands for sukkat borgenin. We already talked about the borgenin. Borgenin are watchmen outside. We made the sukkah. Little tzriv, this is of course not a lean-to, which we were talking about earlier, it's a simple tzriv, which is just a small shack in which he hangs out for the people watching the town. And sukkat shin, the rakbash, the shin stands for shomrei perot. They're keeping tabs of the perot that are spread out before they've been brought in to be stored for the season. And sukkah mikol bakom, even something that's worse than that, of course we're going to ask what that is, all of those things are kshera. As long as they are properly covered with kosher schach. And again, we ask here, well, what does that mean? Obviously, if they don't have kosher schach, how could they be a sukkah descendant? My kiyokatai. And Rav Chisda explained, v'hu sha'asa'ah letzel sukkah. Because they needed to be made also for tzel, as we said before. And here, when you say mikol makom, what is that included? Oh, when you say rock bash, so that's coming to tell me even something worse. Latu yisukat ganbach. Obviously, one Tana thinks that ganbach is the worst. I mean, rock bash and even ganbach. The other Tana thinks that no, rock bash is the worst. So ganbach and even rock bash. What are they arguing in? Hi Tana, the Tana of the first Braita, who explained that ganbach is kosher, and then he said, and even rock bash, which is much worse, would also be included. He holds alima le ganbach. He holds the ganbach is more reasonable to be a kosher sukkah, much more than a rock bash sukkah. And his svari is mishum dekavi. Ganbachs are all real sukkahs that are meant to be standing. And you include now mikol makom to say even like to a rock bash, even though these four types of sukkahs are all just made very impermanently. And Seder. So even such a thing is considered to be your kosher sukkah. That's a little bit strange, and it's interesting that there's a Reb Shlomo Kluger who brings in his Pirushan Orach Chaim, who brings the following question, which is obviously what you're all thinking about. The whole point of a sukkah is that it's supposed to be a dirat arai. The question is, can it be a sukkah kvar and so on? But, I mean, what would be wrong to say that these things are impermanent? Of course they're impermanent. Every sukkah is impermanent. And his teretz is that dafka, a sukkah, which is being made for a sukkah, is supposed to be dirat arai, because the mitzvah is the thing that's making it. It's a teshru ke'en taduru. So since I have the mitzvah now turns it into a mokum that's the equivalent of his house, which is kavua. But if you are making a sukkah that is not for a sukkah, so then if it's only something that is not kvar, if I go to a place like that, I won't be yotze the ke'en taduru because it wasn't made for that person. That's what it thought. Kamash malon, that even though it's not kavua, still satisfies the requirement of the sukkah. That's still the way in which you would live all year round. Whereas the other Tana, the second Tana, which describes the rock bash and says, well, that's kosher, and mikol makom, even a ganbach would be kosher. So alimale rock bash, he holds that a rock bash sukkah is better than a ganbach sukkah, and he is saying, why is that? Look, at least the rock bash, all of the rock bash sukkahs are for Jews, people that are chayiv. And therefore, I would say, that in having built them, they were built as a sukkah that was roy for a mitzvah. It was built basically by people who would be using them maybe for a mitzvah. So then he says, mikol makom, to include even the ganbach, where these ganbach, the goyim, or the noshim, or the kutim, or the behema, these ganbach aren't even chayiv in sukkah, to lavenech yuveninu. So they were built by people who are not chayiv in a sukkah. I would have thought some Amela, they're not kosher for sukkah. Gamash Malan, that even so, they are kosher.